strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 12th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing really well, Taryn. In the case of what went on yesterday, I have to know, who do you think is the most underestimated live feed updater of the season?
Puya, I think it's you. I think you're underestimated.
Yeah, I was going to say you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Also, I think I'm going to win.
I also think I have a good shot at winning.
Yeah.
But my boy Amon, though, my boy Amon. Ooh.
Watch out for that look he's going to give you.
Yeah.
All right. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. It was day 41 in the house. And nothing happened before the eviction. Nothing happened.
Pretty much. Thanks for coming, everyone. Enjoy your weekends. Yeah, honestly, it was kind of like, whatever. We already knew everything. We've been new. So nothing really to refresh everyone on.
Yes. Really, you know, Sam and Adam, they practiced their kiss. You know, they did their stuff. Sam was evicted during the episode, 5-1. And I will be speaking to Sam later today. To get some, hopefully some detailed thoughts about her strategy as a jury member. I will be asking her to rank, the remaining house guests in order of who she's more likely to vote for and all of that. We'll see how accurate this is this time. But very, very interested to see from what I've seen in the house. I expect her to say probably like Adam, then Kira, then Damien, then I don't know, Esty, maybe. Dane. Then who's left in the house?
Esty, Mark, and Anthony.
Yeah, then I think Anthony, Esty, and Mark. I think Mark is going to be last for Sam.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good prediction. I think you'll get at least more than half of that right.
So. There we go. All right, that's my prediction. We also learned that Arissa is pregnant, their third kid.
Congratulations, Arissa. Congratulations. We all now know.
Yeah. Yes, she can and she will have more children.
Have a third baby.
Mark is going to win the HOH competition. It started on the episode and we saw a couple of questions. Mark ended up getting all of the questions correct. And I believe the next closest was Adam at 7. So that's good to know, good to see here. But it was a pretty dominant win from Mark, and he's got the HOH. He's been promising us he's gonna go after the pretty boys. He's gonna take someone down. He's gonna make a big move, and it's time to find out just how much he's telling the truth about that. Because a lot of people have been like, hey, Mark talks a big game, but he's lying to us. He does not have the balls to do this. He will not do it. He's lying to get the audience on his side. We're not going to fall for it, Puya.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of them. When we talked with Bruno, I was joking about how when he gets the power triple or double, he's just going to get rid of Kira. So I'm definitely not going to sit here and deny that I was one of those. However, I do feel like given the way he did this, given what we're seeing from him from the diary rooms, yes, you could look at it like he's playing it up. But also, I think this is the time where he's going to do something about it. It's obviously not set in stone. It never is. But the fact that we've seen him talk about it so much and now he gets a chance to do so, now that he goes into this very difficult looking competition and nails all of them correctly, he has an agenda probably that he wants to get going. And you would not go, you know, full Mark on a competition unless you definitely want to get something on that resume. It's like he said last night in his DR, he doesn't want to just make it to the end with some social game. He wants to make it to the end with some move, and he might see this as an opportunity to do it. And given that everyone still thinks about the triple, it'll be interesting to see how this the triple talks come in involved with all of this stuff. But he wins. He wins one. We didn't think he would even do that, but he won one. So congratulations to Mark.
He won it. He's going to take Damien to Wendy's.
Yeah.
But that is not an indication of where his head is at, because Damien might be in trouble this week. So right away, we got a conversation with Kira and Anthony. And Anthony was talking to them about his parents. He hasn't really talked to his father, really, his whole life. And his mother was always there for him. He loves his mother. She's basically sacrificed her life to raise him. And so he ends up getting really emotional and is kind of out for the count for the rest of the night. He cries to himself a little bit and then doesn't really talk to anyone. So the mover and shaker, the guy that mm-hmm. controls everything, is nowhere to be found for the whole night. So, that's probably going to have some influence on the fact that he's not influencing things right now.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think given how he had his foot on the gas all of last week, any little moments like this where you let your emotions out, sometimes it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. So I think just talking through all this stuff, he ended up in the Shaquille O'Feels, and now he's really, starting to feel those things up. And I don't think, this is a thing where he's trying to get him, play with people's emotions or tug at heartstrings. I think this is genuine, him just mm-hmm. opening a conversation about his family and then kind of marinating in it himself after the fact and just really feeling it. So it's sad to see, but honestly, sometimes you got to feel these kind of things to kind of further refuel yourself. And right now is a good time for him to refuel himself because he looks like he's going to be all right.
So. Yeah. And something that I've been interested in watching is that, there are a few pain points for Big Brother manipulators. And, mm-hmm. you can see them a lot with these big players, where one of them is that if you're manipulating people, you're playing the middle, then when you get to a situation where your ally is going to go home, say like Dane with Kiki, it can become very obvious if you're not really trying to save them. And we saw a little bit of that with Dane and Kiki. We saw it completely blow up in our good pal JP on season 3 when he was letting Johnny go home. That's a danger point. Another danger point is where Anthony is with Corey right now, where he just spent a lot of time with Corey during her HOH. He needed something from her. He needed her mm-hmm. to do something for him. In order to do that, in order to make sure it happened, he needed to babysit her and be with her a lot more than he had been prior to her HOH week. But now that the HOH week is over, if Anthony feels like, all right, we did it, now I need to work on other people, and he neglects Corey, that can be a huge indicator for Corey that she's been manipulated, that she's been lied to, that she's been played. We saw this happen with Tyler last season, with multiple people, with Sam, with Caitlin. It can be very dangerous to really work on somebody and then kind of just be like, all right, now we're good. So I'm very curious to see how Anthony will handle that. So far, it's been okay, but it's only been really a night so far. So I'm curious to see where this will go.
Yeah, I mean, we are creatures of routine. And when you end up in this house, eventually, obviously, at first, it's a lot of everything's happening randomly. But at some point in the game, things will fall into place and people get used to certain aspects, right? So you got Adam used to saying good morning to Sam, let's say, for example. The same thing can be said about Anthony and Corey, about how since they've set this routine up, that's kind of been their daily. Even yesterday, during the day, they had a conversation about, I feel good about Adam. And they started kind of speculating on how everything will go with them moving forward. Obviously, last night, not the case. He has shut down. But it should be something that probably picks back up today. He might have just needed the night off to sit down. But I do think it's a good point to bring up, because this is one of those things where we need to pay attention to, because routines are important, Taryn. People get used to things, and then when it's not there, they feel off. It's very true. Very having a morning cup of coffee for me. If I didn't have it, I'd feel a little off that day. And Anthony being Corey's morning cup of coffee really needs to continue that. Otherwise, it does look sketchy. It does look like he just had an agenda and now he's putting her to the side.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep an eye.
And I really think that's another strength of the Brigade formula, is that it naturally helps with these pain points, where when Kiki is on the block and Dane has to fight for Kiki, he can kind of genuinely fight for Kiki, as long as she's up against somebody that's not Mark. That was a particularly that was an unfortunate situation for them. But if Kiki is up against anybody else, Dane can legitimately fight for Kiki, and he was he did a very good job, even though she was up against Mark, of convincing her that he was trying to help, even though she was still suspicious, not enough to really gun for him until the final speech. And then with Anthony and Corey, like usually if there's just one person manipulating everyone, then, you know, Anthony would need to go and now hang out with Mark to make sure Mark is doing what he needs him to do, and like other people. But he doesn't have to do that because there are other people around, and he can just focus on maintaining Corey while other people focus on maintaining other people. The brigade formula, it's very, very good, very successful. Doesn't mean there can't be weak points. Doesn't mean Anthony can, mm-hmm. can't still screw up here. But he does have a leg up, I think, over somebody like Tyler or you know, even, you know, JP and Zach, who were kind of running the show a lot more single-handedly. So I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, no, complacency in a situation like this where you've got a strong hand is a very, very big Achilles heel. And while I don't think that Anthony's going to drop the ball here, and I think he's going to continue working, this is something that could hurt you in the long run. Even though it looks like everything's set in stone, even though it looks like you're doing well, I mean, we're down to 8. Half of the people are your pretty boys. Then you've got Corey, et cetera. He still needs to work on those points to keep them balanced, keep them moving. And like you said, if it's a situation where a pretty boy is sitting next to someone else on the block, the campaigning stuff does get hard. But these are tightrope situations that a brigade formula needs to maneuver. They are easy to maneuver. There are hurdles that they should be able to clear, but doesn't mean they should, you know, overlook them at any point.
Yes. We get then Mark talking to Dane. We're going to finally get to hear what the plan is, or at least what he's going to tell Dane the plan is, because for all we know, he could be coming after Dane, but probably not. Mm-hmm. Dane has been doing a very good job with Mark. And, you know, while at one point in the game, Mark was saying, "This guy is a dead man walking if I get power," I think that's flipped over to Adam since then, because Dane has been doing a good job there. So Mark tells Dane, "Look, I need to put up a pretty boy. I can't not put up a pretty boy, because that would be too suspicious. It would make it obvious to everyone that there's an alliance. So I need to put up at least one pretty boy." And Dane basically is like, "Look, if you need to put me up next to Esty, I'm down. I'm okay with it. You do what you need to do." And this is exactly what Mark wants to hear from Dane. Mark has like hearts in his eyes. He's, "Oh, Dane, I love you so much. Thank you for doing that. I would never do that to you, Dane, though. I would never do that. Adam is the one that should be going up on the block. Adam, because you know what? Sam put me up. His girlfriend. That's basically Adam putting me up. And I don't appreciate that. And so Adam needs to taste the block. Adam needs to go up on the block. And then I don't know who I'm going to put up next to him. Maybe Esty, maybe Damien. I'm not sure."
Yeah, no, this was kind of a perfect scenario for both Mark and Dane, because Dane gets to be the sacrificial lamb. "I'll do it. I'll sit up." Obviously, given Dane's track record, he feels confident in any veto situation. And I think he also kind of knew that he's probably not going to be going up. And Mark now has, you know, Mark needed was to not get pushback from putting up a pretty boy. And once Dane gives this by A, volunteering himself, and B, kind of being cool with it, it was easy. And we did see this narrative of Mark feeling strongly that Sam put him up. Regardless of how you cut that piece of pie, Sam put him up, and Adam having pulled didn't really stop that. So it's given that he wants Adam to go up. And I think it is smart to put up a pretty boy. I mean, as I said earlier, there's 8 of them now. 4 of them are pretty boys. If they really want to keep this cloaks and dagger going on, they got to put one up. And if there's one that is most expendable to Mark at this point, it's Adam. So it's kind of a win-win for him to do that, keeping it safe in case they stay safe. But also, if he wants to make that move that he's been teasing all this time, what bigger move than to get rid of big boy Adam?
Yeah, so, I mean, this appears to be his plan, is to, he talks a little bit more to Dane. I think that part of the reason here is that he's talking about, you know, Damien or Esty to go up next to Adam. Damien may be a little bit more threatening in competitions. Not really the case, but I think he also wants to protect Esty. He's going to use this as a peace offering with Dane, where, mm-hmm. "Hey, I'm not going to put up your person. I'm going to put up Damien. SD is more your person than Damien, so I'm not going to go after your piece, just like I'm not going to go after Anthony's piece, because Dane kind of does want Mark to go after Anthony's piece, but Mark says no, it'll be Damien. Well, I'll put up Damien next to Adam. That's what I'm leaning toward. The votes should be there to keep Adam, right? You, Anthony, and Anthony controls Corey at least, right? So Adam should be fine, and Dane is like, I'm on board. That makes sense. That's fine. Then Adam joins, and Adam wants the target to be Corey. Corey, she's the most threatening to the group. You think Esty's going to win? You think Kira's going to win? You think Damien's going to win? None of them are winning the triple. Corey's going to win the triple. Who is Corey going to put up? Not Kira. Not Anthony. Not Mark. That doesn't leave a lot of people. Leave a lot of people, especially if somebody like Damien or Esty is gone. That means probably two of them are going up on the block in the triple, at least if Corey wins. And she has the best chance of winning versus anybody else. Corey needs to go. She's clearly the best bet for the Pretty Boys to leave. And Adam is 100% correct. And Dane agrees. Dane is like, I'm with you here, actually. It should be Corey. But Mark says, look, Adam, I get it. It's better for you to have Corey leave, not for me.
No, not for me at all. Yeah.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
Yeah, no, it's funny because he is right. Even though it's backwards triple eviction thinking, it's still not incorrect. I mean, again, they come down to these remaining four. You guys talked about it on the recap show last night of who is there to root for, who is there that has any pull on the remaining four that aren't the Pretty Boys. And the truth is, the only one that has shown a opportunity or capability of winning is Corey. So for their game, probably best to get rid of Corey. And now that we're talking about the game of pieces, one piece is off the board, the strongest piece of the Pretty Boys, and Sam is gone. The next one is Corey. The problem is the next one's attached to Anthony, who we've seen have more pull than the rest of these boys. So once we see Anthony jump back on the horse, hopefully today, we'll see if Anthony tries to pedal or change this up. We'll see if those guys still try and bring Corey up into the mix. We'll see how that goes. But for all it's worth, Mark feels good with Corey, and Mark does not want to do that right now. So yes, we'll see.
So he does not tell Adam that he is a potential pawn yet. He tells Dane not to tell Adam yet. He has a longer conversation with Adam by himself, but again, it doesn't really go anywhere because he hasn't told him anything yet. After Adam leaves, he says to the cameras, they don't know what's going to hit him. Neither do we, because I have no idea what his plan is here. I don't know how he thinks he's going to get one of them out.
Yeah, no, it's really tough, because outside of putting both, which he's not going to do, he's really not going to get that kind of outcome unless he's able to convince them some type of way to flip or to switch some stuff around. We also did see him talking to Corey initially last night, and he talked about how he kind of wants to do what Corey did, where he doesn't really say anything, and then right before, he kind of lets the two nominees know, hey, you're going up. So that's probably why he's kept it quiet from Adam for now. He wants to do it today, with at least the minimal blow up that he feels like he could get, or a angry Adam that he might face.
Yes. So he then is going to talk to Damien, and he lets Damien know, hey, look, buddy, I'm not inclined to put you up. I don't want to put you up, but look, I don't have many options, right? I've got seven people. Two of them have to go up. That's like 28% of the people in the house are going to go on the block. I don't know. I don't have many options here. I don't want to put up Kira. I don't. I know, like, maybe we've talked about that before, but I just feel like they're just so bad at competitions. They're just not a threat to anybody. It just doesn't make sense for me to put Kira up on the block. I am inclined to put Adam on the block. I want him on the block, and maybe try to send Adam home. But I don't want Kira on the block. And so, you know, that doesn't leave me with many other options here. Maybe I need somebody to compete with Adam in the veto. And Damien's like, I'm not good at competing though.
But Mark is doing a good job here, because obviously the game of cloak and daggers with the pretty boys, the narrative does fit. Sam put up Mark. Sam and Adam are tight. Mark is HOH. Mark puts up Adam. It does look like, from the outside looking in, Mark would want Adam out. So that should make you feel more confident in sitting there. However, Damien doesn't feel the comp confidence, obviously, because he hasn't won anything yet. But this is kind of Mark's way of kind of, you know, softening the blow in case that happens. And then obviously, like we mentioned, the sweetening of the deal is, hey, but we get Wendy's though. You want a Baconator? We can make that happen. Like, let's do that. And then maybe we can do this and you'd be cool with it. So there you go.
Yes. Damien also pushes back at the Kira not being on the block. He's like, well, Kira can't win anything. Nobody's going to send them home. And they're a great pawn. Like that's what they're here for. We know that Mark has been building a relationship with Kira. Yep. And so he wants to continue to build that relationship. He's going to have a conversation with them shortly after his conversation with Damien. So, Mark says, not Kira. Maybe Esty. He says, and look, there is another thing that I've been thinking about, which is that, like, I know you wanted me to go when I was up against Kiki. I know you wanted Kiki to stay. And Damien's like, the only reason is because Kiki told me her targets and they like perfectly aligned with my targets. That sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like it was nothing, you know, nothing to do with you. It was just that I knew who Kiki was going after. I didn't know who you were going after. And I her targets aligned with mine, which is actually completely true. That's exactly what Damien told Corey that week, was that he felt like Kiki was more likely to go after big targets than Mark was. So he's given that explanation, but Mark is definitely big on like bringing up the sins of your past to condemn you. So this is not a great conversation for Damien. He's like, hey, I'm just not sure. Just not sure what's going to happen yet.
Yeah, no, one of the things Anthony did last week was, as has been mentioned throughout the week, was kind of pushing Damien into the front of the targets, kind of making him more of a clear choice. And at this point, this is where Damien's arm gets completely twisted, right? Because now Damien can't really deny that because it's true. He owns it up, which is fine, which is good. It's still good rapport building. But I feel like this is kind of what Mark needs is to have someone else sit up there. And if he can avoid putting up Esty, which is good for him and Dane's relationship, then this is probably what he's going to be leaning towards doing. Yes. And I do think Kira is like, I think Mark sees the pieces, right? He sees the Corey Anthony. He sees the Esty Dane. I think Mark has been putting in work and hopefully wants to maybe take in Kira as his. So we'll see if that's how he completes it.
He also wonders, hey, if Esty does go up on the block next to Adam, you'd use the veto on her, right? And Damien's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, because you'd want to build trust, you'd use the veto on her. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. He's like, as opposed to not using veto. Oh! No, I mean, I guess I wouldn't use veto. I mean, you know, whatever. Like, Damien's just like, whatever you want, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm not cool with anything.
Because then Mark is like, but I mean, it would make sense for you to use the veto on her, to build trust with her like that. And he's like, I guess so, but I guess I probably wouldn't though. I don't, because they're on the block. What do you want from me here, Mark? Because Mark is being very confusing. And I was like, wait a minute. Is Mark trying to convince Damien that he would want to use the veto on Esty if Esty run the block so that he can do a backdoor and put maybe Dane up next to Adam? I was like, is this maybe what's happening? Because it's very confusing. It doesn't seem to be the case because he is sticking with wanting to put Damien on the block in the first place. And again, he's like very much in love with Dane right now, from what I can tell. So I don't think he wants either Dane or Anthony on the block. So I don't know what this conversation about using the veto on Esty was. Maybe it was like, hey, if I can get this out of Damien that he wants to use the veto on Esty, that's more of a reason for me to put him on the block instead of Esty. Right. But it's just, It's just weird. Like, Mark is just so weird about things like this, and I don't know.
Now, I really don't think he had it calculated, but a couple of things can come out of this, right? So first, he can find out, is Damien susceptible to listening to me on what to do with the veto? Which he kind of gets if he's doing this and, like, Damien's getting shook up and, like, he's giving different answers. That means that, okay, it's not set in stone. I can do something with him. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, can I use this information to bury Damien if he says he doesn't use the veto? If he says he doesn't use the veto, then, oh, that's not good. Like, I can try and, like, you know, tank him a little bit. There's a couple aspects that can go, but like you said, Mark doesn't make sense sometimes in moments like this, and I really don't think he intended on getting any kind of logic out of this, but that's how I can look at it and be like, if he was calculating, this is what he'd be looking at.
Yeah. So Mark is then going to talk to Kira. He says, I don't want to put you up. I am not inclined to put you on the block. People have been saying your name. You're an easy name to put out there, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to give them what they want. I want you in the final five with me. This is what I want. And this is a good conversation. This is Kira feels like there's trust being built. Kira mm-hmm. does genuinely want Mark in the final five. They want to work with him. They would love to be in the final five with him. They're all talking about the final five because they're expecting a triple to go from 8 to 5. Not because, I mean, Kira does know about, you know, the guys thing for the most part. But the reason that the rest of the guys are using final five is because of the triple. And so, you know, he's like, I've got some things in mind. He wonders about Kira's plans. If Kira had won or if Kira does win, who their targets would be. And Kira says, look, I can't tell you that. But basically implies that, you know, Corey, Esty, those people, maybe even Dane at some point would be the targets there. But does not say any names out loud to Mark. So, again, it was a good conversation last night.
Yeah, I think Mark played it well. I think after the fallout here, obviously Sam goes, you know, we see Kira, they're not feeling this. They're sad. They feel like they were cowardly because they voted out Sam and et cetera, et cetera. So this is a good point to alienate her by saying, I know a lot of people want you gone. I'm not doing it. Then B, becoming the hero by not doing it. This is just further relationship building for him with Kira. And that's perfect. What I feel like with Kira, but the problem is, okay, so with Kira, they have a tendency of kind of not giving a straight answer. They have a tendency of kind of just like, you know, I can't tell you, which is fair. That's fine. But like, we've talked about moments like we just give them what they want to hear, you know, give Mark what he wants to hear. But at the same time, I think it works out perfectly because this is a personality trait of Kira's that they have all seen. So it works fine. I think this all around was a good conversation for Mark and Kira, even though I feel like Kira maybe did some shifty answers at the end. But it's fine. It'll be fine.
Yes. Mark also talks to Esty toward the end of the night. He questions her about the campaigning the week that he was on the block. He said, look, I know you campaigned for your friend. I respect that. But you did campaign against me. He says, look, and I know you'd put me up in the triple. I know. And Esty's like, no, I wouldn't do that. He's like, of course you would. Think about it. You're not going to put up Dane. You're not going to put up Damien. There are only so many options, right? So if, say, Adam is not here, then you've got Kira, me, Anthony, and Corey. That means only one of us is not going to be on the block. You think that's going to be me? No. I know, Esty. And Esty's like, yeah, you know.
This is the season of receipts. People just be pulling back to the old things that have happened and be like, so back in week 3, you looked at me funny. And like, I think that could carry over here. But obviously, this is the thing with Mark that's kind of like, it's awkward to bring this kind of stuff up. But he also kind of gets, he's able to do it in a way where people don't really feel threatened. And they kind of be like, yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, he did it with Damien. He's doing it here. And it works out for him. I mean, Esty can't hide at that point. What is she going to say? But the damn triple, man, we go back to this damn triple that all half these conversations are rooted from that damn triple.
Yeah. So, very annoying. She tells Mark, look, I wanted Kira out this week. And he's like, No, you didn't. Nobody wants Kira out. Stop it. He's incredulous about this. She goes, no, really, I don't want Kira here. I don't think they deserve to be here. He's like, come on. If you had the option of Kira or Adam or whatever, or me in the final three, you'd really choose me over Kira. He's like, yeah, I it would be embarrassing to be with Kira. I would choose you to, I would take you to the final two over Kira. And he's like, come on. She's like, no, really? Seriously, I don't think they deserve to be there. And she's telling the truth. She is later going to tell Dane, like, no, I'm serious about this. And this has been her target for a while. So she's being honest. She really doesn't think that Kira deserves to be there.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways people look at this, right? It's either they don't deserve to be here, or they would be brilliant to sit next to at the end because they don't deserve it and I can beat them, or however they want to look at it. Obviously, Mark and Esty come from two different schools of thought, and someone like Mark just cannot believe for a second that anybody would have that kind of mindset of, oh, they don't deserve, let's just get them out because they haven't earned it. They don't need to be here. Mark sees this as, this is a crown jewel victory for me. This is 7x14K for me if I make it there. So if anybody else says otherwise, they're stupid. That's just the way some people see it. But Esty's being genuine. Esty definitely wants to take this shot. So I do have to say, early predictions here. If Esty wins the next HOH and Kira's still here, best believe we know who they are targeting.
Yes. And yeah, I
not close.
Kira will go home. So that's really the night. There has been a decent amount of movement this morning that can confirm a little bit more about what's been happening. So I can say at the very least for right now that the nominations do in fact look like they're going to be Damian and Adam. Let's just quickly talk about this, because this is supposedly Mark's move against Adam. And now we don't know exactly what he has planned. If he seems to genuinely want Adam to leave, but obviously with the pretty boys, he's talking like Adam is going to stay, that he just needs to touch the block because he's mad at him and he needs to do his part. He needs to put in his own work. But I don't know how he gets Adam out of the house if the pretty boys maintain their votes for Adam to stay. If Dane and Anthony both vote for Adam to stay, Kira is definitely voting for Adam to stay. If Anthony wants Corey to vote for Adam to stay, he will also vote for Adam to stay. Esty is maybe the only person that would vote for Adam to leave, but not if Dane says no. Like, everyone would vote for Adam to stay over Damian. Damian would leave. And if Damian is the one to leave, this is the worst possible target that he could have of everyone left in the house. Damian is the one person that's maybe his, that maybe he has some claim over. Yes, Damian is loyal to Dane, probably more than Mark, but Mark actually has a relationship with Damian, much more so than his relationship with somebody like Esty. And if he thinks that he can maintain a relationship with Kira while targeting Adam, he's got another thing coming. He had a conversation with them this morning where they were like, are you dumb, Mark? You're putting Adam up on the, you're targeting Adam? And he was like, yeah, Adam, he put me up with Sam to basically put me on the block. Adam didn't fight for me. And they're like, what are you talking about? Adam fought so hard for you. You're so dumb. I can't believe you're doing this. He's like, look, if it's bitter, it's bitter. And there, and Kira's like, oh my God, Mark, I think your ego is getting in the way. You're just trying to be bitter and like do this for dumb reasons when there are much bigger targets in the house. I can't believe you're doing this. Like, if he thinks that he's building something with Kira, he has definitely lost it in this conversation, because this is a very poorly handled conversation with Kira this morning. We'll talk about it in more detail tomorrow, but man, like, I just don't know what he, like, did he think that Kira would vote Adam out? Did he think that he could get Corey to vote Adam out? Did he think that he could go against the pretty boys and overcome their numbers with the strength of his own social influence? Definitely not going to happen. Maybe he thinks he can convince the pretty boys. And if he does convince the pretty boys to take Adam out, then it would happen. But, I mean, he'd have to convince them first. And it doesn't make sense for the pretty boys, for Anthony and Dane to take Adam out yet, especially if they're thinking that a triple eviction is still on the horizon. So I just don't, I don't know what Mark is thinking here. And it, again, if Damien is the one to go, then he's lost like the one person he has a relationship with. He's sewered his relationship yeah. with Kira, which was a great thing for him in the final five. If Kira mm-hmm. was still on his side, and now he's pissed off Adam. I don't know what I have no idea what he's thinking here.
It's very, very poor timing and poor execution if this is truly what he's trying to do. Because honestly, it will not work. They literally have been spending weeks now trying to get Sam out to pull Adam back in. Now Adam is truly theirs. Adam is pretty boy to the end. Like, getting rid of him now makes no sense, logically, in any way. And if he's trying to do it by putting up just Adam next to somebody like Damien, not going to happen, bro. Not going to happen. Because, again, they have majority votes at that point. And he, no matter how much he thinks he has pull, he doesn't have nearly enough pull to be able to pull that one over them. Because Anthony is still in this game. Anthony still has Corey. Dane still has Esty. That's four. Like, he definitely, like you said, unless he's able to convince them to do Adam, it is not happening. And the fact that Adam is a clear target ahead of them for later for this triple that is never happening, that's good for them. There's too many pros in the pro column to keep Adam right now. And I don't think Mark necessarily sees it that way. I think Mark is kind of feeling himself after last night's competition, and he is convinced that he has enough time and he has enough capability to be able to pull this off and make it happen. And the fact that he can't even play in the veto means it's kind of out of his hands once he puts the noms up, and he just has to see what the veto is and if he can make something happen there. Like, if he decides, okay, I really want Adam gone, I need to put somebody else up. Again, you're sewering your own game by putting another pretty boy up just to get Adam out. Is it really worth your time? Is it really worth doing? You're going to lose Kira in the process, and you're going to lose Damien in the process. Dumb, 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 Mark, dumb.
Yes. Like, even if he does have some crazy backdoor secret plan to put Dane up next to Adam in order to ensure that Adam leaves, because Adam would leave next to Dane for sure. Now he's just pissed off Dane and Anthony yeah. and everyone in the house. Like, that would be even worse than the current plan. So like, that he can't do that. And so Dane is pissed off at him for targeting Damien over Corey. Dane went off on a thing this morning by himself. Like, he's super pissed off at Mark. He's like, Mark is so, he wins one competition and now he's like this big shot, talking like he's Anthony. This is not good. So Adam was complaining to Dane earlier this morning, and Dane agrees. And Dane went up to Mark and said, "Look, I think Corey's the move here. But if you know, you do you. But hey, look, if the veto is won, I think we should come back and have another conversation about Corey, basically." Mm-hmm. And so basically, it seems like Dane and Adam, for sure, if Adam wins the veto, if Damien wins the veto, if Dane won the veto, then he might use it on Adam and try to get Corey up on the block. However, I did also just see that Dane talked to Anthony and they both talked about potentially using Corey to eventually take out Adam. But I think that's Dane playing Anthony, because Dane had a conversation with Adam where they basically said they're using Corey to take us out, right? Like, that's what's happening. And so I think that Dane actually, again, more detail tomorrow. This is just, just trying to help out with today's stuff. This might be Dane testing Anthony, wondering if Anthony wants to use Corey to take out Adam. And if that's the case, then I wonder if he's going to use this Corey to take me out too. This is definitely, Mark is definitely causing some tension in the Pretty Boys, but none of it good for him.
No, it's in a way where it's going to come back on him. And like, he went from being a sleeper agent that no one's really thinking about, and he has all these, you know, malicious plans, to if it shakes out the way he wants it to shake out, or if it shakes out the way he's trying to push the agenda and it fails, he's target numero uno next week. Like, this is just very poor, very poor handling. And honestly, he better hope that someone else wins the veto and prevents him from making this dumb, dumb move. Really.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Was Mark lying about wanting to take a shot? No.
No.
Did I ever claim that he would be successful? Definitely not. I said it was a super dumb thing to do. And turns out it's still very super dumb. Who knew?
Yeah. What's it called? It's Mark is dumb. Okay, let's just put that out there. Mark is dumb, but it's still salvageable. I don't think, you know, you talked yesterday about Corey might be drawing dead. I don't think Mark is drawing dead yet, but I do think if he...
I think he's playing around with it.
Yeah, I think he's trying to move the number. The math is failing him right now. He might just be losing percentages after this week. So we'll have to just keep our eyes peeled and see if he's able to make it even worse.
Especially because, again, this conversation he had with Kira this morning, Kira was like, you're being bitter. Your ego is getting in the way. This is how you're playing the game, by holding grudges and not by being smart. Kira's going to be a vote in the jury, probably, especially the way things are going with how you're doing it right now. You're probably not going to be able to get to the end with them. And is certainly Sam left the game not super happy with Mark. That would only, you know, him doing this because of a perceived slight that Adam did when Adam did actually fight for him to stay and to stay off the block that week. It's almost as bad a look as Corey's look. It really is. So I think he's making some big errors here. I think that if he's just stuck to the course here, if he just tried to keep everything moving smoothly, he could get to the end. He could get to the final six, final five with Kira on his side. Anthony and Dane will take the shot at Adam for him. He just doesn't want that. He doesn't want other people to do his work. And I get that from a viewer standpoint. I'm glad he doesn't want to do that, because that would be the more boring thing, that if Mark just let other people do his work for him. But it would be so good for him game wise if he just let them take out Adam for him. Then he has Kira, then him plus Kira versus basically Dane in the final five, final four. He has a very good chance of getting to the end. Kira would definitely take him over Anthony and Dane. He can definitely take Kira. He probably wins if he gets there with Kira. I mean, he's got a really good shot to win the game, and he's really just unforced errors all over the place, screwing it up. But I'm glad he is.
Yeah, it's fun for us to watch. But you're right, because through him thinking he needs to make a move for his resume, to him thinking that he doesn't want to just bank on a social game to get there, I think is the biggest flaw for a person like Mark. We've seen Mark understanding this game. Yes, his rap is ridiculous and shouldn't even be called a rap. And we saw him last night. He knows his trivia right now. And for an end game, that's good stuff. Having Adam be taken up by your allies and you not having to be the one to do it is great, because you've seen someone like Adam. You've seen the emotions run high in this kid. He seems like he'd be angry or bitter or salty. Not going to say that he is definitively, because that is always a hot contested thing to say. I'm not going to put that out there. But it's good for you to not have to take those shots and to just reap the rewards of those shots being taken, and to just spend your time building bonds, building rapport with everyone that's about to go out or is going to go out, and then start working on your end game and what you're going to do there. By doing this, you're putting yourself so far on the radar that now your name will be on the lips of everyone. And that is not good for you, because you were not the name on everyone's lips.
Yeah. And I will also say, just even if he did, even if he, like, let's say whatever plan he has, maybe he tries to convince the pretty boys to take Adam out. Even if he succeeds in taking Adam out, that's still a bad move for him, because it makes him a big target and it leaves Anthony and Dane in complete control of the rest of the house. And they didn't need to take the shot themselves. They just let Mark do it. And now they know that Mark is a big threat to them. And it only further solidifies them as a pair over Mark. It's like Adam is the worst person for Mark to take out of the pretty boys. It's messy all around. I've compared Mark to the, like, Ian or Steve archetype. And when you look at how Steve played the game, it's the polar opposite, where when Steve got power accidentally in the double eviction, he took out Jackie and said, oh, I didn't even realize what was happening. And then when Steve had the decision to make a bigger move, try to take out one of the Austwins or whatever versus Meg, he agonized over the decision. He went with the safer move, because that's how you play this archetype. Steve knew that he had a great path to the end, in the same way that Mark has a great path to the end. But Mark, he's not content to be a Steve. He wants to be an Anthony. He wants to be an alpha. He wants to contend with the big dogs. And again, I'm glad. This is the kind of player I want to see, you know, make chaos and try to forge his own path. And honestly, I'm rooting for you, Mark. I would love for you to succeed doing this path. But it's definitely not the best path, and I cannot condone it as a good strategic move.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely not. It does behoove this archetype to stay quiet, to just kind of follow the path, and then to do what he wants to do at the very, very, very end when it's too late to stop the wheel, where you just pivot and just hope for the best. We saw Steve do that at literally the last second possible, mm-hmm. and that worked out for Steve magnificently. So to get to the end, I mean, to win and do a thing like that at the end is one thing. To make it to the end is a whole other thing. And I think his path was going in the right direction. But if he is going to try and get all these things going, I think him getting to the end in the first place is going to be a tough showing.
Yes. By the way, Mark has also talked to Anthony this morning. Anthony was not only on board, but he was very happy with this plan because it's very good for Anthony.
Further like, under the shadow.
I love it. I love it. Mm. So there you go. That's what's going on. I'm sure there's going to be plenty to update you on tomorrow. I'll try to get you some more detailed versions of the conversations that have happened this morning, plus everything else that happens. The nominations will be today. Adam is still pissed, I'm sure. We'll see what this Dane and Anthony thing is. I don't know. Maybe Dane is shifting. Maybe he is more willing to keep Corey around, or maybe he is still very much on the side of, I need to make sure Corey leaves this week. I do think that is smarter for Dane. So it'll be very interesting to see how this goes. But for now, it does seem like Damien is in a ton of trouble. Damien might be the person leaving this week. Esty could still potentially be leaving. If the veto is used and Esty goes on the block, Esty could be the one that leaves. Damien could be maybe safe in that scenario. Corey could definitely be in trouble if Dane or Adam gets their way and the veto is won and used. Adam, as Tammy's pointing on the chat, has won every veto he's played in, as has Dane. So if either one of them are playing in the veto, very good chance that one of them wins, which means bad news bears for Corey or potentially Esty. And then, of course, there is still a small chance that Adam goes home, that Anthony and Dane could decide, you know what, maybe we should turn on Adam right now. I don't think that's particularly likely. I don't think that's smart for them, even without the triple involved. But it is possible. So, you know, those four people, I think everyone else completely safe at this point, and which is like, you know, Mark, Dane and Anthony should be totally fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's how it's going to shake up. It'll be fun to keep an eye on these things the next couple of days. Who gets to play in the veto? Do these noms, once these noms finalize? And if Anthony starts to try and dip his hand into the pot more, or he's just fine with the way the direction things are going because it's chaos and it will work out for him and he can make it out of it. I did want to ask you for a prediction, and that is, what do you think this archive room stuff is going to be? Because we have kind of heard a whisper that could be coming into play real soon.
I am hoping that it's a Marcia thing, like it's a task. Yeah. That was what the crypt was, and you know, the way that Arissa sort of teased it was a lot different than like how they usually tease the twists, which is like, and now we've got a big thing coming up. We'll get your votes ready. You know, get prepared. It's the blood veto, or you know, whatever. Whereas, you know, if it's just a task, I think it makes a little more sense. And you know, I could picture like pressing play on the recorder and, oh, it's Marcia. Hey, I recorded this for you. I've got a secret task for you. You gotta burn this after I tell you. you know, so I could see that. And honestly, I hope it is, because at this point, things are kind of, I think, going in a way that I don't like give anybody a twist. It's not going to do anything. Like,
no.
Mark would use it to get rid of Adam, which I think is the worst case for like entertainment, because I think we need Adam in order for the actual Pretty Boy War to be interesting. You know, Dane would use it to get rid of Corey. Adam would use it to get rid of Corey. Nothing major is going to happen with a twist here. So, you know, I don't think we need one. And honestly, I think that a task could be something that would make the feeds a little more fun at this point.
Yeah.
We need more tasks.
Yeah. No, I think both from a edited show episode when that comes to play, and both from a feeds perspective, I think that would be the best case, is for it to be a task. Because the way we're seeing things set up right now, it's naturally getting to a point where it's going to get interesting. Like, where it's been fluid enough and we're getting to a point where they're going to have to like start thinking about going after each other. Mm-hmm. It's looking good. And because of the whole pieces thing, and with this group, they really like are fighting to keep their pieces in play potentially. It's going to be fun. We don't need the apple cart shaken. We can do without it. And hey, we love Marsha. So let's get Marsha, or for Rob, let's get Rosina.
Yes, because it reminds me of Big Brother 20, when there was a level 6 civil war incoming, and then it was like, oh, but wait, first we got to do the battle back, and then a double eviction, and it's like no, no, those twists are going to ruin it, and they did. They completely just like, we're going to extend the bit right before, make sure people stay loyal, make sure that people who want to take a shot have to wait, and then boom, double eviction, it's over.
Yeah.
Twists are not going to help the situation at this point. The Pretty Boys have too much control over the house. So I'm really hoping that that it's just it's some Marsha for us.
Or the task is they have to undo a puzzle or some kind of clue. They put all the clues together and they find out there's no triple.
Yes. Like, there you go.
Hey.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Puya is at Puyaism. I will be speaking with Sam later today. Not sure when that will be released. But you know, should be an interesting conversation. We'll get some answers out of Sam in terms of the jury and all of the rest of it. So looking forward to that. And I will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Sunday night, we will be back to recap the Sunday night episode. The nominations of Big Brother Canada 7 should be fun. Hope you hang out. Thank you once again for joining us. I'll see you next time.